Aloha, Love Tribe. What's up? Hello. Welcome to the Bitcoin Fees and Music Podcast. Guess who I have here? Somebody who is a super beautiful goddess, a journeyer, a love worker, somebody who wants to bring light, music, harmony, and community to the world. And she is a Bitcoiner and a burner, two of my favorite communities on the planet. Please welcome Decriminalized Nature. Decrim, what's up?
Thank you, DJ Valerie. How you doing? Thanks, sis, for having me on your show. This is amazing to watch your magic unfold. I'm super excited to see where this co-creation unfolds, like manifesting it right here,
so, right now. I know. Yeah. I feel like I've been following you, and I reached out. I was like, do you want to be a guest on my show? And
you're like,
I don't know. I got to check you out first. And then it was like, oh, goody, goddess energy.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks so much for like reaching out. It's I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited to meet you and like in cyberspace and multiverse and like figuring out how to navigate through this right now. Like it's like I needed this too. So thank you so much for reaching out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks. And thanks for the work that you're doing. And it's been really nice. We've gotten to have a couple conversations this weekend and today. And I feel like I'm like, yay, kindred sister spirit. Woohoo.
Yes. The goddess energy is here.
It's totally here. Well, so, okay, share what's your background with the listeners and what's decriminalizednature.org?
Thanks so much for having me. Decriminalized Nature is a decentralized organization, much like Bitcoin is. There is a central webpage, decriminalizednature.org. And we're all just, you know, everyday citizens coming up and just working, you know, in a decentralized fashion to, promote the safe and, responsible use of psychedelic medicines to heal and to, work through like, with psychedelic journeys. So I'll just go through a little bit of the history of the movement. I've been following the space, the decriminalized nature space, for about 5 years now. And it started in Oakland. A couple of people got together and they went to the city council. And it was just everyday people that had, just sharing stories in front of council members and telling them about how psychedelic medicines have helped them overcome PTSD or trauma or various other things. And basically the Oakland chapter really put a pathway forward to decriminalizing at the municipal, like a city level. Mm-hmm. So it was just basically that was where the movement started. And then Denver and Ann Arbor, Michigan, a couple towns in Massachusetts over the last 3 or 4 years. There's just like a group of people that are working online to go to city member, council members and whatnot, and just talking about their experiences to decriminalize means that for small possession of like psilocybin mushrooms or, various psychedelics, that it's not a criminal activity to possess. So we wanted to make sure that we protect that space. And so like city by city, the decriminalization movement has been happening. So DC happened. I'm located in Washington State. So recently, a year and a half ago, I think it was in 2020, end of 2020, Seattle decriminalized. And there's a small town here in Port Townsend that decriminalized as well. So that was the decriminalization movement for small possession, that the psychedelic medicine, psychedelic drugs basically will not be a criminal activity. So the city basically won't allocate funding for policing or arresting or prosecuting psychedelic possession. So that's the decriminalized nature movement. Mm-hmm. And moving on, in 2020, there was at the state level, Oregon passed two measures, 109 and 110. So we're all kind of observing that right now. And that was where 109 was, 110 was the decriminalization. So that they said, okay, at the state level, it'll be decriminalized for small possession. But the measure 109 was a measure to establish an Oregon Health Authority. that is going to figure out the licensing or the structure of psychedelic therapy. So that's where the current debate is going on within the psychedelic world, is this legalized model, legalized, which would be like a clinical model. Mm-hmm. So basically it would be like your therapist can prescribe psychedelics and then put you through therapy and whatnot. So there's the legalization movement that's starting to happen within the West Coast. So Oregon has the measure that happened, and both Washington and California now have introduced bills, and they haven't passed yet, but Washington State also has like a 12-member committee looking at how we're going to license these psychedelic therapy within the state. So that's kind of the where the movement is at right now. And we're trying to take a look at the various models. So there's the clinical model, and then there's also the decriminalization movement, which is like more of a self-sovereign, that we should have the direct access to these plant medicines without the state coming in to saying what type of therapy is valid or not. So that's sort of the status of where the movement is currently at. So I'm just an activist within the decriminalization movement, because I do want to protect the space of, you know, for us to be able to have like a festival setting or a traditional, you know, ceremony type of setting. So that's where the debate is going on within the psychedelic world. And then I've been just following the space to see where it is, and just getting out there to, you know, talk to people about the difference, because there is a little bit of a misunderstanding, like a miscommunication of, like, I'll see bots on Twitter that say like legalize psilocybin, and I really want people to understand what that entails, like a clinical model versus, because the vision is different, because a decriminalized model is more of like we could have like a festival setting or ceremony setting, whereas a legal model would mean that it's basically a pharmacological clinical psychedelic therapy. So that's why I want to, you know, bring the talk to people. And I've been involved in Bitcoin on the side, and because there is this like intersection between psychedelics and the Bitcoin, sort of the philosophy of mm-hmm. sovereignism, the individual sovereignism. So basically I've kind of just moved over. I was working the decriminalization movement, and then Bitcoin sort of, you know, happened in 2020 after all the money printing went on. So I kind of moved over to Bitcoin Twitter, and I'm finding there's so many psychonauts and various people within the Bitcoin Twitter community. So I've just kind of decided to, you know, keep the decriminalized nature, just represent that within Bitcoin Twitter. And then seeing meeting people to talk about, you know, what's going on with these changes in, you know, whether it be consciousness revolution or a monetary base layer revolution. And I believe there's like a tie and an overlap. So I'm moving into this space and trying to explore, you know, what's going on with both realms, and just wanted to talk to people about that. So
I think it's fascinating, and I love that, you know, you're fusing your passion for Bitcoin, psychedelic therapy and healing and consciousness transformation and of course Burning Man. I mean, I mentioned that a lot in the, you know, some of the past episodes about just the ethos of burners and the ethos of Bitcoin. And, you know, so I'd be curious for you, and I have to apologize. First of all, I really do apologize. Usually before I hit live, I go ask my guests to do a deep breath with me so that we're all relaxed, and we didn't do that. So how about we do that together, and okay, whoever's listening, let's do it. Just a deep breath.
Yeah, I got my formal messaging out, so now we can kind of.
Yeah, but it's just fun to take a deep breath together. So yeah. Okay, everybody, let's inhale. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, and we can relax.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
totally. You. I apologize. And so circling back to the conflict that you see happening, is there room in the system that, you know, governs everything and says yes or no, is there room for the decrim vibe and the legalization vibe? And the reason, you know, obviously there's going to be two camps and two schools of thoughts, but why can't we have both? You know, because there's people who are not going to go do a ceremony with a shaman, and they're not going to go to a festival, but they are going to feel very comfortable in a therapist's office, you know? And so how is there room for both?
Yes. And I believe that we need both. I want to make that clear. And, I'm not knocking the clinical model. I think that, you know, we need to get the, you know, these amazing, they're good medicines, and we need to get them. I mean, with the COVID crisis, the mental health state of the, you know, all the change that's going on right now, we need to get these medicines out to as many people as possible. So I'm not knocking the clinical model. But the thing is that there is big money behind I'm calling it mind pharma. Mm-hmm. So there are like companies like Compass Pathways and Mind Medicine, and there's a couple of corporations with, you know, a lot of money that's backing that, and within the traditional venture capital type of you know, community. So and that's okay, but the problem is there are also sending lobbyists into, you know, states like Oregon and trying to restrict the access to just the clinical model. So, what Decriminalized Nature is saying, okay, that's fine. You go, you know, and I do believe that the first, you know, wave of clinics that like get built will be, you know, through a traditional like psychotherapy type of setting, and that's okay. But what I want to do is make sure that, you know, because like for me, like my access to psychedelics was at Burning Man. You know, I became exposed to, you know, psilocybin mushrooms at Burning Man, and you know, and have worked through some of my own, you know, trauma and PTSD with psychedelic medicines on my own. So I want to make sure that, you know, we protect that space as well. And, you know, if the clinical model, you know, is the legal structure that happens in these states, you know, exclude, you know, the ability for us to be able to have festivals and traditional ceremony settings, then I think that, you know, it's basically, we're just trying to fight and protect for that space. So we're not knocking, and there's amazing, like I don't want to knock some of these like amazing organizations like MAPS and some of the local regional, like, you know, movements that's been happening, because they've done really good scientific studies and back that. So that's great to have, but also if we structure these the legal structure of the model, then I want to make sure that we protect, you know, spaces outside of a clinical therapy setting, because I think there is, like, it's different. I've done traditional therapy. I did cognitive behavioral therapy, and I've also done like group meditation, and those were really, really helpful to help me synthesize and deconstruct, you know, some of the trauma that I was experiencing. But you know, just working with mushrooms out in the playa by myself, I did a solo trip out there, and that's where I really worked through my own trauma. So I want to make sure that I, you know, that other people have access to that if they don't, you know, have, you know, and also some of these therapies are like, you saw my article that I just posted, they're charging, you know, upwards of like $10,000 for, you know, therapy. So access to these medicines, like I want the plebs to make sure, like I want to make sure the plebs have access to these mushrooms. They're just, they're natural medicines, you know, just like cannabis.
Yeah.
And so that's basically, you know, the what we're trying to protect. And, you know, we're not saying that, no, you know, don't do, you know, I know, you know, the clinical setting will be very, very helpful to have as well. But I want to make sure that we have, you know, areas outside of that setting, because you know, a therapy setting, you might be able to deconstruct your own reality, but you still don't form the new connections with other people or like the love you feel with, you know, other beings. And that's what's really missing in society right now is, you know, so the deconstruction happens maybe in a psychedelic therapy session, but yet you're still having to, you know, work with your friends and family and coworkers and whatnot. So, you know, I think that psychedelic medicines can also help to reform bonds that have been broken. And we need to be able to have communities that support, you know, people instead of just a, you know, one-on-one therapy with a psychologist or a therapist. So,
yeah. And you bring up such a powerful point, and I'm really glad you got to do some healing, and it's always layers, right? And obviously, you know, we die once we're done healing or when we're all done with the journey, and who knows what the heck happens after that. But it's not just a let's go do it one time and I'm fixed and here I am. I have no PTSD. I have no trauma. I don't remember that rape or whatever it is that we're, you know, my mommy didn't give me an ice cream cone when I was a kid, whatever traumatized us, you know, we don't really understand the depths of like the sculpture that it left in our souls. Right. And so, like you said, that deconstructing, our old paradigm and the old ego, using this medicine, it's very important that we have, proper integration. It's important that we have proper support and community. And you're right. Like just going to a clinical setting and doing a journey is powerful and important. Right. And you need the whole holistic approach to, you know, moving forward with the next level of your life. And I think you bring up such a good point too. And, it would be a travesty if Big Pharma got a hold of this and decided we're going to go lobby because we got the big bucks and we want to make it so that you can't go have, you know, your own journey. Right. And so that would be terrible if that happened. Yeah. And so there's room for both, and there's room for, you know, this medicine out there in the world in a safe and responsible way, you know, to help people grow and solve some issues that are holding them back in life, you know, and to help them expand, you know, into this next world. And as Bitcoiners, right? Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yeah. Like game on.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, I think that, you know, it's powerful medicine, you know, and we want to make sure we have responsible use of them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I believe that psychedelics will help to, you know, deconstruct the fiat reality that, that we've been, you know, simulated into for, you know, most of our life. Yeah. And, you know, I just recently, you know, I quit my fiat job in 2017 and decided to take care of my mother at home. And, you know, just, you know, yeah, it was a tough, I mean, it was a big decision, but at the same time, you know, once you're, you know, able to deconstruct, you know, I went through the whole minimalism phase about 10 years ago with Marie Kondo, you know, so I was able to, like, I had the basis of what had, like, I already had like trained my mind to say, okay, what has value and what doesn't have value in my life, and be able to, you know, just take the things away that are no longer serving me in my life. So I was able to minimize and just deconstruct what, you know, what's really important to me in my life right now. And so I had that, and then sort of going through the Bitcoin journey, you also, you know, find this like, you know, like what has quality and what doesn't have quality and so on. So there's some kind of like a mechanism, it's happening. And so we're just, you know, I'm just kind of moving forward going, okay, you know, what's this individual sovereignism sort of ethos? You know, obviously you and I both have the Burning Man principles that we've experienced. Yeah. And I believe like Burning Man also kind of, my last burn was in 2014, and like I stepped out of it and I felt like the man, like, you know, followed me. And like, I do believe that we're like sent here now, you know, is our role, that like Burning Man was our training ground.
Yeah.
And like now it's real life, like Burning Man in real life. And we're stepping into these multiverse, like Twitter space and meeting each other and like creating a new vibe tribe, you know? And I'm having to, I'm just stepping in and like, part of me, like I, like this last 3 or 4 weeks too, like my heart chakra just like opened up. Nice. And I was like, okay, like I've been holding back the fear of change. And I'm just like, okay, well, obviously, you know, we've had this huge, you know, crisis, you know, we've all been experiencing crisis. Let's just step into this space and find each other and figure out how to navigate through this major change that's happening to all of us right now. Yeah. So that's just, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to find the words, you know, and I'm a military brat. So like I moved around a lot as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first thing you do when you move is just observe, right, for, you know, a couple months, you know, and then figure out the new rules and, you know, how it works and so on. So that's what I did for the first like 9 months of Bitcoin Twitter. And I just observed trying to learn the language again.
Yeah.
And then once I figured out how it works, I'm like, okay, I'm stepping in and I'm going to vibrate at my frequency. And then because like my last mushroom trip that I did, I was like, I went in and I was like, okay, am I on the right path with Bitcoin and with, you know, this decriminalization, you know, with psilocybin? And the resounding answer that I received was yes, just go forward and vibe, you know, vibe at your own frequency and the tribe will find you. So that's how I'm finding you guys. And I'm loving it. I needed it. It's just like, you know, we're all out here disconnected and I'm trying to reconnect, reintegrate. Like I'm just reintegrating back into a, for me, it does feel like a changed world. Like Bitcoin at a foundational, like, you know, operating system level of your brain, it changes how you interact with, you know, the world. Because
it does.
and I'm just like, okay, I'm okay. I'm comfortable with it myself, but I need you, you know, fellow humans that are like, you know, experiencing this same change and go, okay, let's figure out how to do this. So
totally.
So, yeah.
I love it. And we are all magnetizing towards each other. I call it our vibrational operating system. And you know, and in the book that I'm working on, because it's really about like, you know, what you said, like you're honoring your own truth, you're honoring your way of being in this new space, mm-hmm. you know, and understanding the language and everything, but still staying true and loyal to who you are and how you rock, you know, and how you vibrate. We're energy, we vibrate. That's what we are, period. You know, and so once we get that, then it's kind of like, oh, I'm the one in control. Oh, cool. I don't need to go control everything else. I'm going to go work on me. And then everything kind of click, click, click goes into place. Right. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and I know we said this yesterday on Twitter, cause you keep saying Vibe Tribe. And I was like, that's my old DJ name, like Valerie and the Vibe Tribe. It was so hilarious. We were oh my God, biggest dorks.
Yeah, I know. And that's when the magic flows, the synchronicities start to happen too. And I'm just like kind of freaking out because like I've been experiencing a lot of that. And I don't know, maybe it's just my old ego that's like crumbling down and saying, you know, just let it go. Like you're not in control. You know, like I have, you know, I mean, you know, I've been in my head for the last 3-4 years and going, okay, how do I, you know, and now I'm just like, you know, I've stepped out. Now I'm no longer in control anymore. So like, I'm just trying to vibe with other people. And then, you know, we'll figure it out. Like we always have done, you know? So yeah,
we're not going to be like Christine Lagarde. And when they ask about how's inflation going to get solved over there, in due time, in due course.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's not, we're no dude.
I mean, I have a question for you. Like, did you have that moment when Bitcoin clicked for you?
Yep.
Like, okay. I mean, like, what was your emotional response at that moment?
It was the tidal wave of hope and possibility. I was listening to a podcast from Alex Gladstein, and I forget which one he was interviewing him, but it was, you know, last year I started learning. I went to a blockchain conference a few years ago with a friend, and I didn't I didn't understand it. I'm like, this looks like it's all fake. It's bullshit. It's like fake money. No, thank you. Uh-huh. And next, uh-huh. And I just never really thought about it. And I lumped Bitcoin in with all the other stuff, you know, and just right. never mind. Never thought about it. And then in January last year, it was, you know, sitting in my pajamas, watching YouTubes and trying to learn about, like, I guess, you know, this inflation thing and printing money doesn't seem like it's very good. What should I do with my money? And I started trying to learn about it and went down the shitcoin rabbit hole and went down Bitcoin and started learning. And then, you know, it was between Alex and Ray from Paxful talking about mm-hmm. the human rights implications of Bitcoin. And Alex was talking about a woman who was fleeing her country and she had her seed phrase and she still got robbed with her physical possessions, but she had her seed phrase when she got to the mm-hmm. new country and was able to use Bitcoin. And because Bitcoin was more ubiquitous, she was able to start a new life. And sorry, Alex, if I butchered the story, but that's pretty much the gist of the story. And I was just like, oh, got it.
Yeah.
I didn't really realize how privileged we were living here in our country with our dollar as reserve currency. And I didn't really understand everything. So I realized, like, oh, I have a lot of unlearning and relearning to do. And if we're going to help people, like I've been working on this, you know, this 11X Love project and all this for a while, and I put it on the shelf to go learn about Bitcoin because that's the missing ingredient. It really is sound money. You can be a hippie all day and you can do psychedelics all day and you can play music all day and you can, you know, do all those things. But if you don't have that solid foundation of your monetary system, your value exchange system, you're still going to be subject to these other powers that be, and all that mental health work and spiritual health work and fun and play is going to get squished, and it has been getting squished. And so this is where I'm like excited about the future, because it's like, there is going to be pain in this transition going forward. Yes. And I feel like for us, you know, we're a little bit of the, what did you say? We're the top X Gen X generation. Like we're the older Gen Xers or whatever.
It's like,
I feel like we're the cool aunties and uncles and whoever, and we get to help. And obviously we get to hang out with all the youngins, but people are going to need some love and support and compassion when the world crumbles and they're not going to be, you know, they're going to be behind the curve. And I'm like, ooh, man, I want to ease suffering ahead of the curve if we possibly can. But I feel like we're going to be there to help hug and hold and re-educate each other on the Bitcoin standard and love standard.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of my journey has been, you know, just exactly like learning, you know, I went through a red pill journey too, where, you know, I was going through a lot of I was working through some shadow work, you know, mm-hmm. and trying to understand like what's going on there and just how much, you know, I read a couple books like Collusion and how central banks have, you know, manipulated Collusion and Economic Hitman. That was a great one.
John Perkins. Holy shit. That's a great one.
So I'm going to be honest. I mean, there was a lot of anger that I had, you know, through mm-hmm. that journey, right? Yeah, of learning how much, you know, how much suffering has happened in the world because of money, right? Like how money is manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I'm still reading out of Alex Gladstein's the privilege. Mm-hmm. What was it? Your financial
Check
privilege.
Your financial privilege. Yeah.
Check your fun. Yeah. I'm still reading that. But yeah, definitely. You know, I've listened to like Ray Youssef in Paxful and you know what's happening in Africa and I'm connected to, you know, Bitcoiners in Nigeria, you know, and you know just being able to observe like what's happening in El Salvador and these other countries that have mm-hmm. you know suffered from like, you know, mass like inflation, you know, and now in South America as well. So definitely. You know, Bitcoin has, you know, can help us like transition into a sound money system where that inflation's no longer, you know, affecting us. But I mean, it's still very like rough. It's rough seas right now. You know, I mean, that's, you know, I got into Bitcoin in 2015 because I just met some guy on the internet and he told me about it. And then, I mean, it was just, it's been this weird journey of like learning about money. And like, I never thought that I would have to learn about how money works, you know, but it's such a fascinating, like, you know, and I love both. I mean, I believe that having a psychedelic experience helped me understand, you know, money, like deconstruct the fiat system and how central banks work and how inflation works and all this. At the same time, I'm like, okay, like we're okay, you know, now we're transitioning into this decentralized world. So the old fiat system is crumbling. I see every single time I go, like, you know, I just went to like a health, like the healthcare system is just crumbling, you know, and like I've put my mom through like the fiat, you know, healthcare system, and I'm just like, man, this is just in bad shape, you know. Yeah. And so the fiat system is crumbling, and when that ego death happens, like it's gonna be ugly. I mean, just like a psychedelic trip, when your ego is like letting go, like it's, I mean, it really is like a death. It's a death experience, you know, at a societal level. So, like, I think we're all sort of like trying to figure out, like you said, we're you know, I like Brandon Quinlan's article about the pioneer species.
Yeah.
We are the pioneer species. We've been trained as burners and whatnot. Like, we need to go forward and like just figure it out, you know, how we're going to transition. Like, I know this transition is happening. But yeah, so I think it's just us stepping into the space, trying to figure out, connecting with other people, and, you know, see what everybody's doing. And then like, and then the game theory part too, right, is really interesting too, because, you know, I've got some stuff I would really like to, you know, to do. Like, this is going to be my, like, you know, basically my project for the rest of my life. Like, I hope, you know, that this is my legacy project. Yeah. So, but I know I can't do it alone. Like, it's not meant for me alone. So I'm just going, okay, you know, I got to find my tribe and figure out like who wants to do similar things. And then we can coordinate. And now we have an economic medium of exchange to be able to do that with. And it's global. So like my mind is just like, you know, so yeah, it's so much, there's so much happening. Like, I'm freaking out a little bit.
Well, I know. And it's like we need each other as touch points, touchstones to like, you know, like, yes, this is real. It's finally happening. And high five, I got you. And when we get the self-doubt, or when we get the, any of it, the procrastination, when we get that stuff, it's like, we have the gift of each other as community now to be like, hey, you know, what's going on over there? How can I support you? And, hey, I'm feeling kind of down today. I'm just full of piss and vinegar or whatever, you know, like I need to be like, I need that reminder of like, yeah, we're doing this together. It's going to take time. I think we all see the vision of the future. You know, I think we've all gotten the same cosmic memo where what did he say? Chief Monkey. He was like, yeah, we're singing from the same hymn, you know, we're all singing the same, you know, so it's really cool.
I think
know we're just that about to, each other, right?
Yeah. I think we're just trying to vibrate at a frequency, and then like I'm starting to see some alignment happening, right? So we're just, I think we're in that space where right now we're just like, okay, we're starting to harmonize a little bit of our frequencies, but in order to do that, we need to be able to, you know, have this exchange of energy going, you know, and saying, okay, what are you up to? What do you want to do? And this is what I'm thinking. Are you thinking the same thing? Am I going crazy? Like, that's the energy exchange that happens between humans.
Yeah.
And I think that like Bitcoin is so fascinating because it is energy-based money system. Yeah. And like, there is fundamental, like, we can't, like, this is our creative process is, you know, there's value to that. You know, there's value that, you know, this inner source that we give to the world has value, and, you know, trying to like figure out how to exchange that value system. Like, it's interesting too. Like, I'm having trouble talking to my Burning Man circle because, you know, there's a gifting economy out there that works, right?
Yeah.
You know, it works for, you know, a period of time, you know, and there's a lot of love for a week, but, you know, the resources that get put in, you know, into it, I mean, that's it's just an experiment, like, for, you know, experiential, you know, medium for a week, you know, and it doesn't work, you know. You can't scale it. You can't, you know, put it into society in that way, right?
Yeah.
So I think having, you know, a hard money standard that nobody controls, that's the biggest part, is that nobody controls it. It's decentralized.
Yeah.
So nobody can control it. So, you know, and the rules completely change because of that. The rules of the game has changed. Like, a fiat-based rule game and a Bitcoin-based rule game is different. So yeah. I think part of us trying to figure out, like, I go through some mental exercises. Like, I'll go to the store and be like, okay, you know, we've all been experiencing inflation, right? Oh, let's take gasoline. It was like $2.50 a year ago. It's like $5 now, right? Yeah. So, but like, I'm like, okay. So hyper Bitcoinization. I'm like, what's the sats? Like, how much sats would I pay to, like, you know, fill my car up, you know? So like, how do we price things like in Satoshis? Like that's where I want to go and experiment with, like, you know, various things like Plebfest or whatnot, right? Like, we need to learn how to exchange in a non-fiat based, like US dollar is now the, you know, unit of price right now. But like, if we're going to change to Satoshis, you know, can we run markets or different things to try to figure out how to build an economy on top of Bitcoin, basically? So that's kind of where I'm just like, I want to try, like, let's try it. You know,
let's do it. And that's what's so fun about the Pleb Fest and coming together. Cause it's like, okay, let's make it fun. It doesn't have to just be like,
right,
okay, I'm coming up to some little thing and I got to go learn about how to do the cold storage and what's the, no, let's make, we're going to have fun and dance and play and be creative and co-create with each other. And that's where the magic really happens for sure.
And I think we need to like have that to, you know, teach people like how to like, you know, download a cold wallet and be able to like use it and how to scan it. So like, for me, I'm a learner. I learn things by experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, inviting people into a market space and be like, okay, let's try it. And then once you use it, I think it's going to be obvious. And then we can have like volunteers and, you know, people around that can help and also, you know, talk about some of the philosophy around, you know, hard money standard and so on. So that's kind of the vision that I have. And basically I'm getting myself out there because I'm trying to find the people that want to do this because I can't do it by myself.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what my, you know, vibrating frequency is at, and saying, you know, let's experiment. Let's try it. Like, you know, and one of my Burning brother, he's got a space up here in the, it's a campground. We bought an old Elks Lodge. So it has like a lodge with like two bars and, you know, dance floors and like some, you know, external like space that, you know, can run a small festival up to about maybe 300 people. So, I mean, that's where we try it out and see what happens. I have a decentralized vision as well, because, you know, I think that, you know, Psilocybin Citadel doesn't have to be like located here. Like, I want to be able to roll into Colorado, you know, and like have a safe space within the community if I'm traveling, you know. So that's kind of the vision that I have, is trying to connect these, you know, projects that are going on around, you know, around Bitcoin and you know, just the, you know, psychedelics and wellness and in personal development in general. So
yeah, I think it's great. And I know I'm just sort of like you and I, every time we talk, we're still like, oh yes, yeah, do it together.
I know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great. I'm so excited. And
we're already, and I think, like 10 miles ahead, right?
I know, so dude. I was just like so itself. Grateful and so geeked out. I'm really excited to do some stuff with you and play and work and share and serve others and help, you know. I just know, like, we got lucky. Like, we're here in the States for, you know, and I'm like, we were dealt the lotto tickets, you know, compared to what a lot of folks have to deal with on a day-to-day basis on all these levels, right? And so I'm like, I want to capitalize on that and use it for good, you know?
Yeah.
And and I feel like, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
And this is so cool and so much fun. And I'm so glad to know you and get to, you know, just start this little journey together. And
it'll be really interesting to see, like, to co-create this, you know, and figure, like, it's a journey. And I'm relearning again how to just let go and just, you know, be able to, like, trust, you know, step by step. And you know, I think we're all seeking the same thing, you know, and we need love and community, and especially after a huge, you know, global crisis, right? And there's so much chaos out there and so much noise that I think it's our way of, you know, I'm having to shed that the fear. I mean, I had it too, like, you know, so I'm having to shed that old skin and coming into a space fresh and be able to meet new people and you know, embark on a new journey together, because none of us can do it alone. So
We cannot do it alone. And you know, this is like such a cool village of humans, and I think I've said this before too, like, you know, I don't know about you, but when I meet burners, I'm like, oh, you want to come over? Let's hang out. You're a burner. Yay. Especially if you're traveling in other countries, you're always like, yeah, it's like instant, you know, bond. Yeah. And I feel the same exact way about Bitcoiners, you know? And it's like, oh, are you a Bitcoiner too? And I mean, and Bitcoiners, no offense to the crypto folks, and but it's like real Bitcoiners. It's just like, come on, you got it. You must have done enough of the due diligence and DYR.
Yeah. We call them that proof of mind. Like,
I love that. You said
Proof of mind. Like, and it is. It's a mental journey, you know, and you go down the rabbit hole. But nobody can do it for you. That's the thing. Like, you have to do the work yourself. And this proof of work, you know, of yourself, I think there's something there, you know, with the proof of work, with nobody can create money. And you also need to work on yourself, you know, and have that proof. And there's so much like analogies and overlaps of, you know, and it's all language. I love it. Like, it's language play, but but there's truth in there. There's a truth there, and it's amazing to feel it. And so I'm just like, okay, like, getting together, figuring it out. That's kind of where I'm at right now. And it's amazing to watch, like, you know, other magicians like you, like watching you do this podcast, you know, magic and learning all the tech behind it. Cause for me, I'm like, I'm having to learn everything all over again. Like, event organizing has changed too. So having to figure that out, and just, I'm relying on some of these younger kids that like know how to set up a Discord server and all this, you know, like, okay, like my, like, okay, let them do it, you know, and I just have to figure out how to, you know, just get myself into it. That's it.
Yeah, it's great. And it's just knowing, like, okay, let the other folks who are good at this part do their thing. I'll do my thing. You do yours, and we'll all harmonize. And I love that you used that word a little earlier, because that's like part of the mission statement of the 11X. It's like, live in harmony together. And really, like, that involves not having the competitive us versus them, or somebody's over hot, you know. It really is like, we all have a room in the symphony, you know?
Yes.
And it's like, if we're all playing the same note at the same time, it's not a symphony. It's just noise, right? And it's a cacophony. So why don't we have, you know, strive for harmony. And another part too is just this, like, you know, a lot of people talk, I did an episode a long time ago on a different podcast that I had, and it was called Balance is Bullshit, because so many people think like, I want to have work-life balance and I want to, no, you don't, because there's no such thing, you know? And so it's like harmony is the key. And when we realize that, we're not so hard on ourselves, because then it's kind of like, yeah, I'm really shining over here right now. And this part of my life is kind of just taking a back seat. And then I'm going to kind of move over here in the dance. And now this part's shiny, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like as a global decentralized community and world of Bitcoiners, it's like, we all have these gifts to offer to the network and to the whole community, and still be our own individual selves. Right.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, really powerful.
Yeah, the game theory part. Like, I just recently went and watched Beautiful Mind again, and there's a scene in there where he John Nash, he explains game theory that, like, no, you know, we each individually are seeking, you know, our own, you know, quality, right? But that, you know, when the game theory is that when you find that what you want and what others want actually harmonize together, then it's a powerful economy. So that's why I still needed to rabbit hole, like, you know, the mathematical side of game theory and all that. But I understood it finally. I was like, okay, you know, I have, you know, I need healing as well. I'm creating this space really because I want to heal, you know, because I need the people too.
Yeah.
But if I need it, then I know others need it too. So let's, you know, come together and then, you know, figure out what our individual needs are, but also what our individual gifts are. And that's really, you know, and when we start to connect those dots, right, and that's how, like, the reality forms. So I think there's and I love, and I just want to nerd out with a bunch of, you know, Bitcoiners and, like, talk about all this. Like, I could talk about this all day.
I'm too, dude. I'm like, let me get my tinfoil hat on. Let's go.
I know. Like, I can talk about it, like, all day long. So I think this is going to be an ongoing conversation, and I would love to get other guests in and, like, you know, talk about this, because I think we are in a period that we're trying to harmonize and create a song together. So, it's going to be exciting. I'm super excited to see, like, where this, like, ends up, because it's a relief too. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm just letting go of my old, like, self of, like, okay, now I'm like, okay, now it's not really up to me. Like, we create this all together. So
yeah, we've been calling each other in for who knows what the time stamp is on our calls, but we've been definitely, like, I think psychically and spiritually calling each other, all of us, the whole Bitcoin community, burners, everybody on planet Earth. I mean, it's happening and it's magic. And I think we've got these tools, and when used with love and care and responsibility, it's going to make a really great impact for the future generations, and certainly for us as we, you know, journey forward together, you know. And it's really, really powerful. I'm so excited. Yeah. And
me too.
I'm so happy to know you. This is such an honor, and thank you so much
DJ Valerie. Like, it's, I needed the energy. I love it. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to see where this all goes.
Yeah, me too. And I really love, you know, we talked about it early before we hit live, but I love, and you just mentioned it now, like, I really do want to bring in a variety of people together, and we can do some panels. You know, maybe we'll have a once a week panel if you want to do stuff with me. I don't know. We'll just kind of play around, and we can invite some other guests from, you know, different areas to have, you know, kind of cross-pollinate and have different conversations. I think it's very important that we, you know, have a lot of voices, you know, that are learning from each other and sharing from each other. And I feel like, okay, here's a cool tool and a platform. Let's play with it and do it. You
know? Yeah. Me too. I'm having to, like, you know, I've been in my head for, like, a really long time. So for me, I just want to know what people are doing, and I would love to, like, you know, yeah, exactly, start to harmonize and see what other people are thinking, doing, you know, and or just, you know, just a super, you know, cool, like, philosophical talk. I'm up for anything, you know, and yeah, I would love to be part of that.
Yay. Well, it looks like you are.
Woof, woof. Awesome.
Yay. Okay. So, do you want to wrap up with any places to tell people to go to, or you know, because the people who are listening on that will be hearing this on the podcast, where should they find you and go? You
know, sure. Yeah. So I'm at DCrimNat on Twitter, and my DMs are always open. If you want to just talk casually, or like, also if you like had a psychedelic trip and want to integrate and just want to share stories with me, like, I'm always up to listen to what kind of, you know, just compare notes of psychedelics. So if you want to share that with me, my DM's always open. That's where I'm at.
Awesome. And then they can also, people can also learn again about the decriminalizednature.org. Go there and check it out. It's all over. It's pretty cool. I'm going to be interviewing a very dear friend on Wednesday who is associated with you, you know, this whole organization. I can't wait. I'll probably have you two on at some point. That'd be really fun.
Okay. That'd be great.
Clark. Yeah. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. He's a super burner too. He's got you'll see it when we go. I'm getting, like, happy thinking about it. He's just a good soul brother. You'll love him. Yeah. And then, let's say what's one thing that you would say, you know, to somebody listening right now who is, you know, on the fence about learning about Bitcoin, or on the fence about learning about, you know, the medicinal qualities of psychedelics? What's something you would share to somebody who might be new and wanting to dip their toe or learn?
Yeah. So, you know, with psychedelics, you know, what we usually do is just teach about, like, set and setting, and how really your mental state, you know, it really does impact your trip or your journey. So that's part of the reason why, you know, we want to try to build a supportive community around it, because it can be very disorienting, and, you know, it does, like, break down your identity and various things. So they are powerful medicines. So we do promote, you know, safe and responsible use of them. I want to be able to have a community of, you know, people that have had experiences that can help, you know, integrate, or, like, just, you know, be a listening ear, or, and also be a sitter. I've started doing some virtual sittings, and I'm just, that's pretty interesting to be doing too.
Can you explain that for anybody who might not know what that means?
Yeah. I'm just available on DM, you know, through a psychedelic journey. I'm just there just to check in, you know, just be available, you know, and I try not to guide them. I just, like, just, you know, try to say, you know, I'm here if you need me, kind of a thing. So, that's kind of the safe use of psychedelics. And with Bitcoin, I think, you know, for me, I'm an experiential learner. So I just bought some, and then when I do, I have to go and learn about it. And so, but it's been a long process. I mean, it's been about 7 years that I've been going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, and each time I go a little bit deeper and a little bit more, you know, more, like, widespread, and because both psychedelics and Bitcoin can really, the rabbit hole can really, like, explode into, like, a million things, you know, like, you're learning about monetary history, you're learning about, you know, sound economic systems, you're learning about the technology of it. And, like, you know, and so for me, it was just, you know, this is a process. It's a learning process. So, but, you know, the ethos is that you have to do the work, really, to learn it yourself. So nobody can really, you know, I can't force my friends to buy Bitcoin, right? They have to do it themselves. And if they do, they can, you know, choose to learn about it or not. Like I didn't understand Bitcoin at the beginning. I sold some, and the guy I was with that had introduced me, I call him my Bitcoin master, but like, he got super mad at me, like that I traded, right? Basically I sold it with like a 15% like profit or something. I was like, I made 15%. Yeah. Like, yeah. And no, he didn't talk to me for he got super mad and he didn't talk to me for 3 days. And I was like, oh, but that was when I knew. I was like, this motherfucker is really serious about this thing. So like I bought and that you know, he was a Bitcoin maxi. Like he understood it, but I didn't understand it. And he's also like he's British, so like he understood kind of what the economic reality that was going on in Europe. So yeah. My consciousness grew about that. And so it's been just this like progression of learning about the whole global monetary system and how, you know, the, you know, central banks, you know, control basically, you know, the global economy. So yeah, I would just learn about it. There's, you know, and the thing is, there's some amazing educational material now. And I'll just throw a couple out there, like the Bitcoin standards, like the Bible, obviously. And then, like, I like Layered Money, Nick Bhatia. That one was really good because it's pretty short. And then it's also, and it takes you through like the whole monetary history, mm-hmm. as well as the Bitcoin, like it talks about how Bitcoin, you know, like changes things. So that's a really good book. So it's a learning process. Bitcoin really is about a journey through like learning about how money works. So really you have to do the work yourself. That's the frustration, right? Like I'm also like having some resistance with my fiat, you know, friends and family, right? And so I think we're all experiencing that, right? Yeah. So now, you know, just like you said, when you're with a bunch of burners, like, you know, you already know, like, you know, like, you know, how they're programmed. Yep. So with Bitcoin, it's the same way. Like, you already know how, you know, we got the fundamentals covered. So now we can, like, have a language to like speak in. Yeah. So I think that's really the change, that the transformation that happens when you move from a fiat based reality to a Bitcoin based reality. So
it's a big shift. Like your relationships definitely shift. And I know for me, when I went to Burning Man and started doing that, my old non-burner relationships kind of just were not that, it wasn't as interesting for me to be around those folks. And I wanted to like, come to Burning Man. It's so great. It's going to change your life. Right. Wow, so cool. And that's kind of how I feel, like this crazy evangelist, you know, like, Bitcoin is going to save the world, but it's really real. It's such good stuff. And it's kind of like, oh my God, tone it down, lady. You sound like a psycho, you know, and I know the whole psychopath thing. It's like, yep, we are. But it's one of those things. It's like,
we got to own it. We got to own it.
We do own it. But it's like, when you see people that you love or the world and planet that you love, like driving head on toward the edge of a cliff, you're like, don't go that way. Come back. Do it this way. Turn around. You know, it's like, we do want to support. And I think we all will find our own path on how do we get to share this with the world and each other and our besties and our family and our kids in a way that's just kind of like congruent with us and congruent with like meeting people where they're at and just being, you know, like we had to do the work. Like you said, you can't not do 9 months for a pregnancy. You can't just say, I'm plopping it in. And even, you know, you have to grow the baby. You have to do your own work. And it's a never ending, you know, rabbit hole. 'Cause new things keep coming up with use cases and how it works. And it's just like, it's just magic. I love this. And I love this community that's so generous with their time, with their wisdom, with their genius, with their talent. I mean, people are so, I love this community. It's just, it's mind blowing, you know, and heart-blasting. It's so good.
Yeah, I know. And I felt it. Like I felt it as soon as I moved, you know, my basically my frequency on Bitcoin or on Twitter from like kind of my old one to Bitcoin Twitter. And I was like, okay, it really felt like, yeah, like burn, like meeting burners. Like there's something fundamental and like first principled, you know, they're very first principled. So, and I do, I mean, now that I reflect back on all the crazy problems that, you know, life has thrown at me a lot, like, I just think about it from a Bitcoin based, you know, reality. And I'm like, that would have fixed that. That would have fixed that. That would have fixed that. So that's, you know, so that's just like, okay. So yeah. So a lot of the problem, and I'm in, like in my fiat job, I was an engineer. So I'm looking at social problems and, you know, once you reflect on it and say, okay, yeah, you know, Bitcoin based reality may, you know, might fix those problems. So that's part of the reason why I want to try, you know, and experiment with it, and to see if it does, you know, work better in social, like in social relationships, right? Like, you know, and money is a fundamental layer of exchange, not just with each other, but with your future self and your future generations as well. Yeah. So, I think, you know, and also like I'm multi, you know, cultural too, like my mom's Japanese. So like, you know, and just having the, you know, Japanese, like I worked like 8 years at a Japanese factory, as a process engineer. And, you know, they teach like the Japanese mindset is like very, very low time preference. Like it's almost a sense of like national pride, like it to, you know, think, you know, just small, very small. So like a lot of like my cultural background too, my cultural setting really vibrates with, you know, a hard money standard as well. So I've been able, I mean, that's just kind of a self-exploration sort of a thing. But like, you know, I was seeing a lot of that crumble within the fiat society. So, you know, how do we bring, you know, things like integrity and like, you know, value and quality back into the things we create? And so I think Bitcoin has that ethos. And I'm wondering, you know, is this a, like a consolidation period that's happening now that like, you know, fiat sort of was this expansionary, like, you know, global system. And now we're sort of contracting in and then there's a consolidation cycle that's happening. But, you know, is that going to infuse more like, you know, better things for us, you know, as a human species to evolve. So that's kind of like, it really does get cosmics like really fast. And
it does. And also, yeah.
And the rate of change is so like happening so much faster too with technology and all that. Right. So yeah, I mean, at a point, like I'm just trying to keep up and just learn and from each other and see if I can, you know, survive basically this crazy change that's happening. So.
Well, I think we're going to do a lot more than survive, my friend. I think there's going to be a lot of thriving in our current and future situation. And hopefully we can sprinkle that on everybody. And I think it really works. And I know we've got a lot more to unpack, and I know you've got a time, sensitive life to deal with. So I want to honor your time. But just really quick, what you said just about, you know, the Japanese culture and having value and integrity and the time preference and everything, thinking about the future. I feel, you know, anything goes through, whether it's a pendulum, whether it's expand, contract, whatever, like that's the nature of energy. That's the nature of cycles. And I think, you know, with the way that our consumer mentality is consume, 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 and lots and lots and lots and cheap, 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 you know, like that's been a mindset. And even that our social media and the content that's out there, you know, these little dopamine hits that we're getting, you know, saying yes to all the time. It's kind of like, how do we slow it down? You know, like with the block size wars, right? Like, oh, we got to put more faster, make the blocks bigger, all that stuff. And so it's kind of like, no, we don't. We want this to be solid and sound and strong, heavy duty integrity, unfuckable, you know?
Right, yeah.
And it's like, that's what we want,
it's
you know,
foundation.
For our money.
It's a new foundation. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I feel like it's absolutely right. We are shifting and I think it's permeating everywhere. And I'm glad that money is, you know, the sound money is going to be the foundation of the future for us. So.
Yeah. It is. It's a foundational shift. And, yeah, it's important to make sure that, like, you know, we have a solid foundation to, you know, basically live out the rest of our lives, and our you know, our family does too. So, I think it's important work, and but it's also, I hope so. I hope it's going to be a thriving fun, like, we'll put our sparkle on it. So
we are going to sprinkle it up with some glitter and some laser eyes and all the fun. I told you earlier, I want rainbow laser eyes.
Somebody make it happen out there. We need rainbow laser eyes.
There we go. Come on, let's go. So fun. Yeah. So, okay, guys. So let's make sure that you guys go follow Decrim for sure. And go to @decrimnat, DECRIMNAT. You can go to decriminalizenature.org. And then for those of you guys looking for some books and resources, go to Gigi's site. It's bitcoin-resources.com. It's a really good place to get lots of articles and books. You can, of course, always go to djvaleriebelove.com. I've got some Bitcoin resources there. I keep adding. I need a helper. I'm getting a VA soon to help me with some stuff. But you can also go get a little playlist that I've just put together that's kind of fun. And and then of course you guys can follow me, DJ Valerie B. Love, and all the places. That's my jam. And let's go have some fun. I'm so excited that you are here, Decrim. Woohoo! My new soul sister.
Yeah. Thank you so much, DJ. Like, yeah. And I also need a DJ in my life. That's one of the things I want to learn how to DJ. So
I'll teach you what I know. I'm not like, I'm okay. I just play and I play music that I like. That's about it.
It's one of those things, like, you know, music is the first wave that like heals. Like, so let's vibrate together. See what happens.
For sure. So, okay, everybody, let's take a giant, big inhale together. Remember that love light that lives within, that connects us all throughout all space and time. You have access to that through your breath. And I am so grateful that we are breathing here together. And as you're listening to this or watching this, wherever you are, know that you are connected to your heart through love, through your breath, and with each other on this beautiful sacred planet Earth. Thank you so, so much, Decrim, for being a beautiful guest and a beautiful soul sister. I'm so honored to know you.
Thank you so much.
Can't wait. I'm so happy that we get to do some fun stuff together. So,
Thank you. Thank you so much, DJ.
Woohoo. All right, everybody. Aloha. And we'll catch you guys next time. And again, this is DJ Valerie B. Love with the Bitcoin Peace and Music Podcast signing off with you. Let's go. Woohoo. All right. Aloha.